to the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at the 7th verse. Such a blessing this week to have a chance to, an opportunity to go to the association, Seaboard's 89th session. It was a really, really blessing. I want to thank you for those that did attend. Forgot to do that because those who attended, that was real special for me because that shows our church is where it was going on. Minister Lyles was there. Tamika and Warren came. You had Dee that sung a solo. Sister Dee sung a solo. Before Sister Fia came, I gave her annual address. You got Amy and her, Sister Amy and her family were there. Yeah, it's just a blessing. It's just a blessing to be there. And historically, and to give you also the information that moderator, this was the end of his 4-year and his tenure. But because no one else wanted to run, no one else ran, no one else challenged him, he was accepted for another 4 years. That says something, about his service and his cabinet. And it was just a blessing to be there. I'm always encouraged when I go. I'm always, encouraged by the fellowship and the knowledge that is there. But I'll talk more about that later. Amen? There's a word from the Lord.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 10. Let us pray. Oh, Father God, right now we thank you. We thank you right now for allowing us to be able to stand up and proclaim the gospel. Oh, Lord God, we are unable to do it by ourselves. We ask that you allow your Holy Spirit to come on in and exhibit his perfect teaching and preaching ministry right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, anoint our minds afresh. Draw back the draperies of misunderstanding. Allow your word to be plain enough so that a child can understand it. And Father God, like you said in your word, allow your word to go out and accomplish that which you set it out to do. You said your word would not return unto you void. So, Father God, let it reprove, rebuke. Let it encourage. Let it give someone an answer right now. Let it strengthen someone right now. In the name of Jesus, let it set somebody free. Anoint every seat in the place, oh God, bind Satan as he goes to and fro, trying to snatch the word of knowledge away from your people. You said we perish for lack of knowledge. Yes. So, Father God, we sit humbly at your feet, yes, asking you to feed us, Lord. Speak to us. Till we want no more. Right now, in the name of Jesus, have your way in this place. And whatever's accomplished, oh Father God, we be careful to give you, oh God, the honor, the praise, and the glory. Speak, Lord, for your people hear it. Yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, not an unfamiliar text to the church. God's Bible readers. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. And when you get there, you'll find these words. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, 3 times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, yes, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Mm-hmm. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in... Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Are y'all still with me? Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Help me, somebody. I want to put a tag on this text if you'll allow me to teach this morning. Quite simply, live with it.
All right, all right. That's it.
Live with it and take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Live with it. A week ago, my brothers and sisters, a brother pulled me aside and said, "Pastor, I need to talk with you." I told him to come into my office. He was visibly upset and disturbed, seemingly a little sad and sorrowful. And after some initial pleasantries, an exchange of salutation and felicitations, he said to me, "Pastor, I need you to teach me how to pray." I began to talk with him about the context that led him to this query of me. I found that the brother had found himself in a painful place in his home, Sister Thompson.
All right.
Things were deteriorating around him. He had begun to pray to the Lord to fix it. After praying, seemingly nothing had changed. So he came to speak to me, believing the only reason things had not been changed was because he was praying incorrectly.
All right.
"Pastor, it seems that God is not answering my prayer.
Well.
And I need you to teach me how to pray." Before me was a brother who had fallen on his knees, gone to God, begged, pleaded, and asked God to do something simple like fixing what was wrong in the house. After repeated prayer, when nothing seemed to change, when nothing seemed to get better, nothing progressed in the place of prayer that he had given to God, he came to the conclusion that the only reason God did his prayers were not answered, God was not answering him, were because he was not praying correctly. Mm-hmm. Was because, check this out, God did not answer his prayer because he was not praying correctly. My brothers and sisters, all of us have been in this place.
Yes, yes.
Where life has delivered us into a painful position. With problems on every side. Where it seemed like the very ground you stood on was being shaken and stirred. And your life was being tossed and tumbled. And everything you prayed about was not happening. And so with all the hell going on, with all the havoc, are y'all still with me?
Yes, yes.
With all the pain you endured, you did the only thing what a good person of faith knows how to do. You prayed.
Yes, yes.
You went to God and asked God what to do.
Amen.
To do something in your life.
Yes.
You prayed because you came to church one day and a preacher told you when you pray, God hears and answers your prayers.
Yes.
You pray because you've been around those who have prayed. And you've seen God move on the prayers of God's people.
Yes.
You pray because when you came to church, the congregational hymn that day said, "Let's have a little talk with Jesus."
All right.
Tell him all about your troubles.
Right.
He will hear our faintest cry.
Yes, yes, he will.
And he'll answer by and by.
Yes, yes, yes.
When you have a little prayer going, you hear a little wheel turning. You'll see a little fire burning.
Yes.
Just a little talk with Jesus makes everything all right.
Yes. Yes.
You
yes.
pray because you believe God would answer your prayers.
Yes.
You bowed down, said your prayers, and said amen with the expectation that shortly after you got up off your knees, the Lord was going to do what you asked God to do. Have you ever been there?
Yes, sir.
I don't know about you. I've been there, y'all.
Yes.
When you gave it all to God, and when you stood up, you believed everything was going to be changed, only to find out that it did. Oh, y'all can be upset.
Come on, Pastor, come on, you got it.
Have you ever prayed?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Fasted and prayed?
Yes.
Knew that God was going to do it?
Yes.
But nothing changed?
Yes.
You prayed and it still hurt?
Mm-hmm.
You prayed and the door did not open. You prayed and the relationship was not reconciled.
Yes.
You prayed and the sickness was still there.
Yes.
You have enough faith to know that sometimes it takes more than one prayer. So you know what you did? You prayed again. You got back down on your knees. And you asked the Lord to heal this, to fix that, to move over here and bless over there. There, you gave it all to God. Said amen. Got up again, believing that shortly after your amen, surely the Lord will move this time. And nothing happened. Somewhere in the cycle of prayer and getting no answer, you became frustrated in faith and perturbed with your prayers and getting ready to give up on your God. Believing the only reason things were not changing, either you were praying incorrectly or God was not answering your prayers. I know what it's like to pray and it seems like God does not answer. I don't know about anybody else. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. I suggest you listen to Pastor. There, the possibility of another answer. Maybe it's not in the words you pray. Maybe it's not in the fact that God is not answering. Might there be another possibility for why you pray and nothing happened? That is the experience of the Apostle Paul. Gospel globetrotter. This anointed apostle who outside of Jesus Christ has done more for the kingdom of God than any other man. More than any other, Paul suffered and was persecuted and surrendered his life to the cause of the preaching of the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul was God's best. Y'all hear me? He was God's best. In the opening verses of chapter 12, walk with me now, he begins to brag and boast about the things God has done for him. If you read the first six verses, Paul talks about himself in the third person. He says, I know a man who was so blessed by God that he was lifted into the third heaven and dwelt in paradise. Y'all with me? And God gave me a revelation of things no other man has ever known. I have been so blessed by God. He has shown me the mysteries of his will, Paul said. God has taken me behind the curtain of humanity that I may understand divinity. God has blessed me with an abundance of revelations. He is testifying in the first six verses of his blessedness. What a blessed man. But then verse number seven comes. His testimony takes a tragic turn. He says, I was blessed with all of that, lest I be exalted above measure. I also was given a thorn in the flesh. I'm going to get happy in a minute. Biblical scholars have speculated for centuries over what the thorn metaphorically represented. Really, there's no evidence to know what Paul was speaking about. Was it a physical malady? Was it a chronic illness? Was it an addictive habit? Was it some form of sinful living? We don't know. But the word that he used, thorn, can I teach it? Refers to something that has been stuck in him so deeply and has wounded him so much and he can't pull it out by himself. He says, I've been given a thorn that is a messenger of Satan to buffet me. That word buffet in the Greek, Brother Amos said, literally means to throw a punch and strike. The word buffet. Paul says, I had all these blessings, but I also had something that wounded me and hurt me so badly and struck me so violently. It blows. It literally made my life hard to live with. Y'all feeling me? There are two things about this thorn. Folk's testimony. that bothers me. The first one is, Paul says, the thorn was given to me. Y'all hear that? Mm-hmm. That made me ask the question, who gave it to him? Yes. The same one who gave him the abundance of revelations. That's who gave it to him. Uh-huh. That the same God who blessed me, the same God who called me, the same God who says he loves me, it's the same God who is responsible for the painful situation I'm experiencing in my life. Y'all ain't thought about it, huh? Y'all messed up right now, ain't you? This gospel glows from this God's best. God gives him a thorn. Sometimes God gives us thorns. Let me tell you why that ought to resonate in your spirit, in your life. You have to be very cautious of being jealous of folk that look like they have the lot to boast about. You have to be careful of being envious of folk that look like they got the right resume, drive the car you want, live in the neighborhood you desire, have the kind of marriage you dream about. Because really, I found out through Paul that sometimes the folk that can brag in verse 1 through 6 are the same folks that carry a thorn in verse 7.
Yeah.
Be careful what you wish for.
Amen.
The reason why your neighbor's not shouting, they're looking really good this morning. They are dressed well. They look like they got it together. They got a big Bible. They know when to shout. They know when to say amen to church. They even know when to stand without me telling them to stand.
Amen.
They know when to say amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to be careful about being jealous and cautious about judging folks whose thorns you do not know about.
Yes.
Y'all with me?
Yes.
There are some moments when my thorn is exposed. And what you got to realize, understand, the thorn does not mean the Lord is not in my life.
Yes.
That's right.
Sometimes the thorn has been given by God.
Yes.
Here's what I want you to put out there. Get this on your telephones and tweet this.
Okay.
The presence of a thorn does not signal the absence of God. That should make somebody feel real good in here right now. Because you got some thorns in your life, some pain in your life, I came by to give you some gospel good news. It may hurt, it may be breaking you apart. You may not be liking it, but it does not mean God is not working in you, on you, through you, and not hearing your prayers.
Yes.
Y'all hearing me?
Yeah.
It disturbs me that God gave the thorn, though. But you know what bothers me even more? Paul says, when I realized I had a thorn, I prayed about it.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Not once, not twice, 3 times I asked the Lord to take it from me. God said, my grace.
Yes. My grace.
It's sufficient for you.
What?
Yes. No, I want it gone. I don't want those grace. I want this thing gone. I prayed and God did not do what I asked him to do. I prayed and the pain did not go away. I prayed and the situation did not get better, Sister Brown. I prayed and God did not do anything about what I was going through. Have you ever been there? Paul, this gospel globetrotter, the anointed apostle who knows how to pray. He prayed using the right language, saying all the right things. He probably prayed a good Baptist prayer.
Yes.
Now, Lord, y'all know how we do it.
Now, Lord.
Just a few in your hand, make sure.
Yes.
Come again once and another time.
Yes.
I'm glad that you woke me up this morning, Lord. I'm glad my bed was not my cooling board.
Yes.
Y'all ain't hearing me.
Yes. Jesus.
But Lord, look beyond my fault. Yeah, Paul knew how to pray.
Yes.
He prayed correctly. And the answer God gives Paul, y'all know what God told Paul? Live with it. tonight like that answer. Lord, take it from me. No, live with it. God, make it better. No, live with it. God, change it. No, live with it. Church, isn't it not amazing how God allows us, makes us, even forces us to live with things that bruise us deeply?
Yes.
Y'all hear me? Mm-hmm. God refuses to deliver us from things that humble us and handicap us. God does not change some rough realities that he refuses to remove. And he looked back at us in a prayerful moment and said, hey, live with it. My grace is sufficient for you. I come out here to tell you, as much as you don't want to hear this, you wanted me to tell you that when you pray, everything will change. And when you walk by faith, you can speak to the mountain, and the mountain will be removed. You want me to tell you everything you ask God for, he's going to do it. That's right. God is going to do. No, he's not. But I have come by to declare to you this morning out of practical experience in my life. Practical. Nobody told me this in a book. I know how he works. Oh, y'all hear me? Yeah. That sometimes there are some things that God says you must learn to live with. You have to accept some things. Don't change. Here's the reason why. You have to live with some thorns. Mm-hmm. You have to live with thorns because you have no choice. Mm-hmm. He's God.
Yeah.
Paul prayed 3 times for God to give him another option.
Yes.
Take it away. Move it. Fix it. I can't do that. You have to endure, God says. You have to go through this. Let me tell you why I want you y'all to embrace this. Because you have mistakenly thought, listen to this. You have mistakenly thought. We have mistakenly thought, Christians, prayers to get you what you want. You think that because you put it on a prayer list, God is supposed to comply with you. The purpose of prayer and the power of prayer is not for God to will what you want, but for you to will what God wants.
That's it.
Did y'all just understand what I just said?
Yes.
The purpose of prayer is not for God to hear you and say something to him, and now he changes his will and does it because you said it. It becomes his will because you prayed it. Huh. Did I explain that good?
Right.
No, you're supposed to. Prayer, what it does is allow you to transform your mind. You're in conversation with a divine being. The more you conversate with him, the more he makes you like him. But if he didn't leave you with the thorn, you probably would forget about him. You know what it is when you're in the middle of something, in the middle of a controversy or the middle of a tragedy. God got your ultimate attention there.
Yes.
I preached many homegoing services. And my prayers before I get them to speak, I said, Lord, bless this family as they grieve. But Father, why you got their attention? Let this word minister to them. Because when you're going through your daily life and everything's about you and a bag of potato chips, you ain't thinking about coming to church, don't want to come to church, I'll go next Sunday.
Right.
Ain't no commitment. You show up when you can. But go to the ICU or to the hospital if someone's confined to a nursing home and ask them what they feel about church now.
Right.
They can't get there. They sure want to be there. And if they had a chance, they'll be here every Sunday after that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they didn't go. I'm talking about the ones who didn't go before they got there. But we got free will. But God said, I'm I'm going to keep you. I'm going to keep you in a place so you know that my grace is sufficient for you.
Yes, Lord.
I don't think y'all feel it.
Oh, yes, Pastor.
Paul comes to the point, after God tells him to live with it, Paul says, okay, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory. You're not going to take it from me? I'm not going to stop praising you, God, because you won't do what I feel you need to do. You done blessed me so much, I testified of it. You took me up into the third heaven. Spoke to me things that you have spoken to no man. There's a price for your anointing.
Yes, yes, yes.
Are y'all hearing me?
Yes.
Yes, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. But God said, I've got diggity down. I'd be crazy if I give you a bag of money and let you forget to look to the hills from whence comes your help. I got to let you know that your help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Because as you get into yourself, you forget about me. Don't you remember before you came to me? My grace is sufficient for you.
Yes.
Everything you pray for, you're not going to get.
Right.
So what you do as you pray, you meditate on God's word. Y'all with me?
Uh-huh.
You get into what God is doing. If he don't do it, you say, it's okay. What Brother the prophet say? He's done enough.
Mm.
Are y'all with me?
Yes.
This is kind of hard, isn't it?
Mm.
He's done enough. So now, as you come to the realization that he's done enough, you're not going to be upset because he don't do it.
Right.
You pray the prayer three times if you so desire, and he doesn't do it, then if you read on further in the text, and the next books of the epistle, Paul said, I press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ. He mentions no more about the thorn.
Yes, yes, yes.
God said, busy yourself with my word.
Yes.
And you forget the struggles you're going through. For me, for some reason, I can't understand why people get into problems and say, I can't come to church, I'm going through something. Are you crazy? Now you're going through something, you can stay from church. The devil, the Bible says that the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And if they gave him that name, a roaring lion, for a reason. I know some of y'all have watched Animal Kingdom before. I know I ain't doing it anymore. Have you ever watched Animal Planet or Animal Kingdom? Have you ever watched the tiger, Brother Anderson, and the lions hunt? Guess what they do? They ain't going to the front of the pack. They want the deer that's hanging in the back and is weak.
Uh-huh.
He's weak. He's going through something, whatever he's going through, and he begins to isolate himself behind the pack.
Amen.
So what the lions do is they stir the pack. The pack runs, and now the weak one who gone through something, I can't go to church, gets left behind.
Uh-huh.
And guess what? Gotcha.
That's it.
Okay.
Amen. Amen.
Don't you dare stay home.
Uh-huh.
Bring yourself to church.
Yes.
Matter of fact, you need to leave that learning something more about commitment. I don't understand it. I was like once like some of y'all. I go to church, yeah, Daddy. I can go to church when I get ready. God put you in a position that you got to call on this. You'll lose your mind if you don't call on his name.
That's right. That's it.
You're about to lose your mind. You're throwing in the towel. Consider suicide. I never consider suicide. No, the devil will isolate you, and how you think it's not happening is not happening.
That's right. That's right.
Depression is a spirit.
Yes, it is.
It'll get on your back, and it will ride you.
That's right.
You can't shake it off. I don't care how fast you run.
Huh.
I don't care how much you drink, smoke, whatever you're doing. I don't care if you live regular. You cannot shake it off. Ain't nothing but a divine intervention can cause it to get off of you. once it's getting off, you know, guess what now? God allow you to ride, let it ride you a little bit. Because some of us are real stubborn.
Right.
Some of us don't do right until we hit rock bottom, Deacon Drake. Until we hit rock bottom, then we find a rock called Jesus. Guys, I can't take that. I'm not taking this. Not I got you. I refuse to turn you loose. No, my grace is sufficient for you. Have you ever been in a situation? I'm almost done. Have you ever been in a situation that once you got out of it, you said, boy, Lord, if you get me out of it, if you get me out of it, I won't do it no more.
Jesus.
Have you ever been and done that?
Amen.
I'm not talking, some of it was fake and we just wanted to get free.
Amen.
What you say? I know you got some goody two shoes. Any of y'all have been too drunk or hot? You didn't understand what was going on. Can I get it up?
Amen.
And you say, Lord, have mercy. James, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. And Lord, if you give me back, because it seems like you're about to lose your mind. Lord, if you just give me back, I won't do this no more. Some situation I authentically like that. You done been through so much, you ain't trying to go back to that no more.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
God delivers you from it, but he necessarily didn't have to take the thorn away from it.
That's right.
If you got a problem with women, then you can't go to the beach.
Amen.
Hello.
Praise the Lord.
What are you laughing at? I'm telling you the truth. You can't go there because you got a problem with women. What are you going to the beach for? Let me make it more specific. Y'all, I'm going to the beach for y'all. If you got a problem with alcohol, don't go to the bar.
That's right.
Because the thorn there, you rub up against it now, God said, okay. Live with it.
Amen.
God hears your prayer. But pray in the will of God for your life. That's why when I teach in Bible study, I tell you, ask God for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. You're going to get that so quick. If you want to come smart in the Word of God, read the Word of God and pray for it. Pray for him to get wisdom. Watch how quick that comes. You start deciphering scripture and verse. Because that's what God wants you to have. He wants you to have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding.
Yes.
That's easy. Yes. That's the first thing. Because without knowledge, you perish. Live with it. God got us, church. And his grace is sufficient for us. Am I right about it?
Yes.
Stand to your feet. Live with it.
Lord.